All right. How many of you know what tangible means? Tangible. Well, that's a good explanation. Something you can get a hold of. That which may be touched. That's tangible. All right. Now, we're going to study about the devil. Do you think the devil's real? Huh? Is he just a force or an idea or what is he? All right. Here's something I wrote. Spirit is invisible and cannot be seen, but spirit is real. We can see its life. We can see spirit, mind, soul. The soul is invisible to us at this time at least, but we can see it express itself. We can watch it work. We cannot see it, but we know it's there. It's real. This is a kind of a hard illustration. How many of you ever seen dead eyes? Have you ever seen something die and life go out of its eyes? Spirit left. It's not there anymore. People, when they get ready to put an animal to sleep, they want to see its eyes. They'll know when it's dead. You can tell when it dies. It's just eyes change, spirit's gone. When people die, their eyes change. They don't see anymore. They just are dead. Spirit's gone. Now, you can tell when somebody's alive. You can see it. You can look in their eyes. They look back and everything like that. And we know that's real. The spirit is really there. Your soul is really there. And your flesh is really there. Okay? Now, the body is real. And when we can see it, we can see expressions of it. We can see it moving and everything. But the spirit which empowers you is real. And the soul which has all your memory in it, it's real. Now, some of the names of the devil are Abaddon, Diabolos, Lucifer, the great deceiver, the liar, the murderer, the slanderer, the father of sin, the archangel, and the archenemy of God, the perjurer. What is a perjurer? Somebody that slanders or lies. Perjurer. Well, he is the father of it all. In Arabic, the name for the devil is Iblis, which means the slinking whisperer. The slinking whisperer. Now, the serpent in the Garden of Eden was not the devil. But he represented the devil, because the devil used him. And the name for the snake there is Nahash in Hebrew. Dakota could say Nahash when she was a little old, I think 2 years old or less. Nahash, say that. Nahash. That sounds wicked, doesn't it? Nahash. And it means the deceiving serpent. In the New Testament, in Acts the 16th chapter, we kind of covered that a little bit. Here a while back, it talks about the woman that was empowered by the spirit, the pneuma of the pithona. Pithona. Guess what a pithona is? A python, the snake. All right. We talk about all of these ideas and words, and they are that which describes Satan or Lucifer. The introduction. Many ideas are abroad concerning the devil. Since the Bible pictures him as an arch enemy of God, it is of necessity that we learn more about him. That's why we're going to devote this whole class period on the devil. All right? And who he is. Now, he's real. The reality of Satan. Brother David, are you there? Number one. Can you read that number one for me? The reality of Satan. Yeah.
Many deny the existence of such a creature, claiming it is merely a myth. Others say the only way to spell devil is to leave off the D.
That's evil. In other words, all evil is the devil. Well, the devil is the author of evil. All right. Brother John, do you want to read number two?
The Christian unquestionably accepts the reality of Satan's existence. No one can accept the Holy Bible and not believe in the reality of Satan.
The reality of Satan. Now the book of Job says God talked with Satan, Marilyn. Job 1, 6 through 8. In your brand new unused Bible.
1,
6 through 8.
Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. The Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From roaming about on the earth and walking around it." The Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil."
All right, so we have a little bit of information right here in the book of Job. Now, tell us a little bit about the book of Job. What is the book of Job? Anybody know? How old is the book of Job? Probably the oldest book in the Bible. The book of Job predates Moses. All right? That's a long time ago. We don't know how old. He may have been lived about the same time as Abraham, maybe, some people think. All right? Now, Luke, number 4, Luke teaches that Jesus saw the devil falling and that he can also converse with him. Luke 4, 3 and 4. Kathy, are you over there? Luke 4, 3 and 4.
The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone."
All right. Now, we have Jesus. Now, we talk about the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Doctors talk about the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, the doctrine of God. And Jesus was able to be tempted because he had a human body. Was Adam able to be tempted in the garden and Eve? They were without sin. God created them without sin, but they were capable of being tempted. So was Jesus, because God became flesh, and therefore he took on our nature. Not that so he could understand us, so that we could understand that God understands us. God is omniscient, isn't he? He knows everything. Well, he knows what it would be like to be man before he ever became man. But to understand that God, for us to understand that God understands us and that it is capable of feeling what we feel in the flesh, he became flesh. All right? So he was even tempted like we are. Okay? But without sin. All right, the origin and the former estate of Satan. His name was not Satan originally, was it? What was Satan's original name?
Lucifer.
What does Lucifer mean?
Light carrier.
Light carrier. All right, light carrier. One that carries light. Now in Ezekiel 28:11-19, it tells about the person of Lucifer. It's a dual prophecy. We have a dual prophecy. A dual prophecy means it's talking about two things at the same time. It's talking about the king of Tyre, and it's also talking about Lucifer himself. Now, we're not going to go there and look at everything in this, because we don't have time. Without doubt, the real king of Tyrus referred to in Ezekiel 28:11-19 is not a man, but Satan. Now, what does Satan mean? What does that name mean? Do you remember Brother David? One who opposes or stands against. That's what Satan means. One who opposes or stands against. One who rebels. From these verses, we learn some important things about his origin. All right. First of all, in verse number 13, that he was created. All right. He was created. Are you there, Kathy, in that? Okay.
All of them?
Yeah, I'll just read them off real quick. And
the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, take up a
lamentation
concerning the king of
Tyre.
And say to him, this is what the sovereign Lord says. You are the model of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone adored you. Ruby, topaz, emerald, crystallite, onyx, jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and beryl. Your settings and mountings were made of gold. On the day you were created, they were prepared. You were anointed as a guarded cherub, so I ordained you. You were on the holy mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created, till wickedness was found in you. For your widespread trade, you were filled with violence and you sinned. So I drove you in disgrace from the mount of God, and I expelled you, O garden cherub, from among the fiery stones. Your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So I threw you to the earth. I made a spectacle of you before kings. By your many sins and dishonest trade, you have desecrated your sanctuary. So I made a fire come out from you, and it consumed you. And I reduced you to ashes on the ground in the sight of all who were watching.
All right. Well, there we have the whole history of Lucifer. When he was created, he was an anointed cherub. All right, let's go look at this. He was created, first of all. God created Lucifer. He created Lucifer with a volition. Everything that God created in animation, every created living, breathing thing has volition. We know that even animals have volition to some extent. But usually they follow the will of God. Animals can refuse to be inhabited by demon powers. And we see that in the New Testament, because the swine did not want to be inhabited by the demon powers. When the swine went into them, what did they do to themselves? They killed themselves. They drowned themselves. All right. Now, the snake in the garden, Nahash, he chose to be indwelt by Lucifer and to be empowered by him and to be used by him. That's why he was cursed above every other beast in the field. Now, I'm just throwing that in just a little bit for you, because most people don't go there. But there's enough evidence in the Bible to understand that. All right? All human beings have a volition. Mankind is not created as a robot. Neither were angels. Angels are not robots. They follow God because they will to follow God. They wish to follow God. Okay? Now, he was created, and he was created full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Number three. He was created a sinless creature, but with will, volition. Remember that. He was a cherub in the order of angels. Now, cherubs are, as far as I can tell, are archangels. Okay? They're a high order of angels. They're over other angels. They're head angels, archangels. Head angels. And archangels mean the same thing. Ark means head. All right? Head of it. Ark or head, number one. He was in the government of God, existing authority over angels under divine authority. Verses 14 and 16. He was over the other angels. Okay? And number 6a, mountain is symbolic of government in the Bible. All right? It's symbolic of government. Also in Matthew 25:41. Someone want to go to Matthew 25:41? Are you there, Brother David?
Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels.
All right. The everlasting fire, eternal hell fire, was created for the devil and his angels. All right. Number 7. Seemingly his place of dominion was what? The earth. Haaretz. The earth. Okay? The earth, the material creation of God. Material.
the material creation of God evidently had Lucifer over it. And then the spiritual realm had who over it? Who was over the spiritual realm?
What angel was over the spiritual realm, as far as we can tell? Michael.
All right. And then, who was over the mental realm? Communication.
Gabriel.
All right. In these three realms of angels now,
how many of you ever heard of seances? Fortune telling. All right. Now,
in these three realms of angels, these are all angels. And these are head angels as far as we can tell. These are archangels. Okay? But there's also a spiritual realm that are spirits. Okay? Now, as far as we can tell, angels take form whenever man, they've revealed themselves to man. Don't they? They take form. But spirits don't. Spirits seek animal or human flesh to dwell in. Okay? Now, in the spiritual realm, Lucifer, the spiritual realm that Lucifer, spirits, daimonia, demon spirits, fallen spirits, the realm that they were in is the material realm. All right? Material realm. That's physical. If you have a guardian angel, now, probably not all of Lucifer's angels from the material realm and spirits from the material realm fell. Some of them did. But we know that some of them still exist today, because if you have a guardian angel, from what realm does that guard you? Where do you live? Material. So if you have a guardian angel, that guardian angel is from the material realm, because he's guarding the material, isn't he? Spiritual forces. Okay? Spiritual realm. Michael is over the spiritual realm. There's angels over the spiritual realm, and there are spirits in the spiritual realm. Okay? There are physical beings like angels, and there are spirits in the spiritual realm. And this is spiritual. Okay? That's a powerful realm. Michael, as far as we can tell, is the most powerful of all angels. And he's in the spiritual realm. Also, probably some of the spirits and angels from the spiritual realm went off with Satan. And maybe these are the most dangerous angels, because God had to put some of them in a bottomless pit to guard them, to keep, and they're going to be turned loose on humanity in the tribulation period. All right? The Michael, in the spiritual realm. This is where people might be spiritually led astray. Okay? Many times people try to do spiritual things in the world today, and it might not be the right spirit. Try the what? The spirits, whether they are God or not. So we have angels and we have spirits. All right? Michael, this is the spiritual realm. Then we have Gabriel, and Gabriel is in the informational realm, or the mental realm. This is communication. If you were running a seance or a fortune teller, what realm of spirits do you think are dealing with you? The informational realm from Gabriel's side. So probably some of these, and some of these went with Lucifer. Okay? Because we have evidence from the Bible from that angels from all of these three realms are evidently, some of them are fallen. And spirits from these three realms, evidently some of them are fallen, because they're working in the world. And when we see this, are you learning anything in this? All right? Okay.
That mean that each one of these spirits or angels from each three of these material, spiritual, and mental could have control. Does Lucifer have control of those three?
Well, we haven't got there yet.
Okay.
Yeah. But yes, he has control of angels that cover all three realms.
Right.
But only one third of the angels rebelled with him, and only one third of the spiritual forces. So there's 66 2/3% that followed God, and 33 1/3% that followed Lucifer. Okay?
Okay? Now, if you have a seance or somebody is dealing with a seance, do you think that people can really tell fortunes? How about spirits? How old are spirits? Are spirits supernatural? Do you think that they could have known Alexander the Great? Like yesterday? Could they quote him? Could they speak like him? All right. Well, sure. That's nothing hard for an angel or for a spirit. Do you think that they could mess with somebody's mind? They do. There are people that are fortune tellers and people that think that they lived 500 years ago because they can speak in languages and they do all kinds of stuff that they did back then. Some of this stuff is real. Some of it's fake, but some of it's real. And the real stuff you better run from real fast, because you're not dealing with a realm of spirituality that is not of God. It's not of God. We know that for sure. It got real. I mean, there's all kinds of people that are talking to the dead. When people die, their spirit leaves their body. Their soul either goes to Hades or to be with the Lord. Only those two places. And you don't communicate with them people. You don't communicate with them. They're there and you're here. Okay? But spirits could falsely identify themselves as somebody that you loved. And love is a very strong thing, isn't it? Very strong thing. Houdini. Have you ever heard of Houdini? Houdini tried to communicate with his mother. And they all planned that when one of them died or the other died, that they were going to communicate and tell each other what it was like on the other side. Well, the Bible already tells us what it's like on the other side. Leave that stuff alone. It's real. It's tangible. It may be touched. That which may be touched. Spiritual realm is just as solid as the physical realm, material realm. It's real. Okay? Let's go on a little bit further. The rebellion and the fall of Satan. All right? The rebellion and the fall of Satan. Iniquity was found in him. Pride was the cause of his sin. Ezekiel 28:15-17. But we have Isaiah, the 14th chapter, and we have Ezekiel 28. There are the two different places where it talks about Satan so plainly. But it's dual prophecies. All right, the king of Tyre and the king of Babylon. But in reality, it's also talking about Satan. Pride was found in him, and that was the cause of his sin. Now, he was beautiful, wasn't he? He wasn't an ugly guy running around in a red suit with a pointed tail with a pitchfork and pointed ears and funny-looking fangs. That's not what Satan looked like. Satan was beautiful. God didn't make some ugly thing like that. He made a beautiful being. And he could sing like an angel. Because he was. Beautiful. And he did lead out in the worship of God for a while. How long? Maybe a million years. I don't know. It doesn't tell us. But when he rebelled, Genesis 1:1 says, Barashith Bara, Elohim, Eshashemayim we Atharas. It says, in beginnings created God the heavens and the earth. And then it says, in the earth, we Haaretz, and the earth, Haya, Tuhu Babuhu. The earth became formless and void. Something destroyed the earth as it was originally made. And as far as we can tell, Satan is the one that destroyed it and made it a chaos. Tohu Vabohu is just totally formless and void. All right, it became formless and void is what happened. Satan destroyed that. And then God reconstructed it in Genesis, the first chapter. He sought to dethrone God in number 2. Isaiah 14:3-4. Let's go there real quick. Isaiah 14:3-4. Marilyn, are you in Isaiah? You're not there yet. Okay, but you can find out where it is, can't you? You'll figure that Bible out like Kathy over here pretty soon. Kathy, are you there?
Yes.
All right.
You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mountains of assembly, on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High.
He wanted to be like God, didn't he? He wanted to be God. All right. A says, thus he is said to be a murderer from the beginning. In John 8 and verse 44. Talks about him being a murderer from the beginning. Go, John 8 and 44. Who's got that? Are you over there, Brother David? 8:44, John? John 8:44. They named a book in the Bible after you, John. You know that? Several of them, actually.
8:44, you are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him.
All right. Now, there's some very, very scary things that was just said in that verse there. You are of your what? Father, the devil. You know, as we're born again in this world, some people are born of Satan. That's right. You are of your father, the devil. John the Baptist looked at those Pharisees that came out here, and he said, who calls you to flee from the wrath to come? You brood of what? Vipers. What do you think he's talking about? You think he's calling vipers or sons of the devil, the great snake? Okay? Now, we won't go very far on that thing, but we're just kind of uncovering and opening some pages and books here as we go. All right, there's a lot of information in God's Word about these things. Thus, he is said to be the murderer from the beginning, and he had the assistance of many angels in his rebellion. Revelation 12 and verse 4, Ezekiel 28 and verse 16, and Luke 10 and verse 18. Let's go to Revelation 12 and 4. Revelation 12 and 4. That's the last book in the Bible. The last one. The last one for the last things. The last book for eschatology, last things. Who has got Revelation 12 and verse 4? I know you're there, Kathy, already.
His tail split a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that he might devour her child, the woman that he bore.
All right. The Bible there calls him a dragon, doesn't it? The dragon. The great destroyer. A third of the stars of heaven were swept with him. What is that talking about? One third of the angelic and spiritual forces were taken with him. He convinced one third of the angels that he could overtake God. All right? Luke 10:18. Are you there? Who's got Luke 10:18? Who's got that? Matthew, Mark, Luke 10:18. Luke 10:18. John, you there? Might near? All right. Are you there now? Luke 10:18. I saw Satan fall from heaven as a bolt of lightning. That what it say?
Yep.
All right, Kathy.
He replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven.
All right. What does lightning do when it hits the earth? Destroys. Genesis 1 and 2. All right. Genesis 1 and 2. All right, the present nature of Satan. He is a personality, not just an impersonal force or influence. His reasoning with Eve proves to him to be a personality. Genesis 3, 1 through 5. We're all familiar with that, aren't we? He tempted Eve, and he deceived her. All right, he tempted and deceived Eve. He outsmarted her. Now, does he deal with people today? Does he deal with the human race today? Does Lucifer still deal with the human race today? Absolutely. He's real. I don't know how much time he spends with each and every one of us, but I think he's been following me for a long time. Kind of there, not too far behind me. All right, Jesus indicates he is the father of sin, John 8 and 44 and Matthew 13 and verse 9. He is a murderer and an author of murder. B, he is a liar and the father of lies. A liar and the father of lies. The father of lies. One of the commandments in the Old Testament is thou shalt not commit what? Adultery. But it shall not commit what?
False witness.
False witness. That's perjury. People commit perjury. People cause other people to commit perjury, especially in courts. They can talk and tell somebody and write down, just lie, just do whatever you want to. You're never going to get caught anyway. And that's exactly what Lucifer did in the garden to the woman. What did he say? He slandered God. He said, God is so proud that He don't want you to be like Him. That's why He wants to keep this stuff from you. All right? He's powerful. All right? He's powerful. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 9. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 9. Who's over there? 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 9. John.
That is, the one who's coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, who's all power and signs and false wonders.
All right, all signs and powers and lying wonders. He is powerful. Can Satan perform miracles? Yeah, he has. He has performed miracles. He will perform miracles. He's doing it today. Now, he is supernatural. Supernatural. Lucifer is supernatural. What is supernatural? Supernatural. Super means what? Above. All right, kind of like hyper. Okay? Super, above, natural. In other words, we live in the natural world, don't we? Now, we are acquainted with the spiritual world, especially if you've been born again, because the Spirit of God convicted your soul of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. Therefore, you repented of your sins and called upon God to save you. Now, that's the spiritual realm, isn't it? But you live in the physical realm. The spiritual realm is supernatural. It's above the physical realm, all right, or the natural realm. So he is supernatural. And he's powerful. Now, he's not all-powerful like God is. He's not omnipotent, but he's a whole lot more powerful than any man. All right? He's a lot more powerful than any man. Now, number four. What does it say there? Number four. What's number four say?
Deceptive.
He is deceptive. He is a deceiver. 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 and 10. All right? And 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 14. Number five, he is called the devil. Diabolos is the word. Diabolos. Now, what does Diabolos mean? It can mean to slander, but what does it literally mean? Diabolo. Diabolo. Diabolo means to throw through. It means to run a spear through you. That's what it really means. He is a killer, a destroyer, an impaler. They called Vladimir the what, Dakota? Vladimir the Impaler, because he impaled people. Well, Lucifer is the original impaler. He's the Diabolos, okay? He is the enemy of God and God's people, Matthew 13:39 and 1 Peter 5 and 8. In the very first, 1 Peter 5 and 8, let's go there. 1 Peter 5 and 8. Are you there? Okay.
Ready?
Yeah.
Be diligent, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour.
All right, back in Job, the first chapter, what did we find out about him? That he's walking to and fro on the earth. He admitted he was walking to and fro on the earth. And what's he trying to do on the earth today? He's trying to see who he may devour. All right? He wants to get his army together. All right? The work of Satan. The work of Satan. This can best be studied by noting these three roles that he plays in life. All right? Three roles that he plays in life. Talk about the three roles of Satan. He is the prince of the world. John 14 and 30. All right, John 14 and 30. He's the prince of this world. What does the word prince mean? What's a prince? Huh? He's an overseer. He's a ruler. He's the one with authority. All right? Authority. A prince is one with authority. He is over the world at this time, and I say here, as such, he pretty well runs the affairs of the world. I've had many people say to me, I wouldn't have anything to do with a God that had created this world and caused all this havoc. God doesn't cause any havoc. Who causes all the havoc in the world? The prince and power of the air. The prince and power of this age. A, the corruption of the social, political, economic fields are caused by him. The corruption. Corruption. That means sin is what it means, corruption. If you got any corruption down here in the courthouse, it's because of Lucifer and his emissary. If you got any corruption in politics, it's because of Satan, because of his influence with ungodly people. If you got any corruption in the economic field, it's because of greed. Now, we just spoke about social, political, and economical fields. What kind of a mess are we in today in America? What is this? We are in a mess, people. Because of sin and greed. That's the problem. Sin and greed. Number two, he's called God of this age. It says world there, but it actually means age. All right? 2 Corinthians 4 and 4. We need to go there. 2 Corinthians 4 and 4. Brother John, are you there?
In whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God.
All right. He's blinded the minds of the unbelievers. Actually, those are the people that weren't persuaded. The unpersuaded. The unbelievers are the ones that are not persuaded of their sin, righteousness, and judgment to come.
They were born in that condition.
Yeah, we're born in it. We're born sinners in this world. But the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, which works in the spiritual realm, convicts us of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. Doesn't he? Anybody, any of you ever been convicted of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come? He's real, isn't he? All right? If you have ever been tempted, you're tempted by reality also from the other side. Now, the God of this age is what it says. Theos, it uses the word theos, but I'm going to tell you that's with a little theta. He's a little god. The word Danian, the word daimonia, means little god. Did you know that demon means little god? It means it's a supernatural being above the natural. Okay? A, he seeks to be worshipped and shall someday attain universal fulfillment of desire and of the dragon of Revelation 13 and verse 4. Revelation 13 and verse 4. Brother David.
So they worship the dragon who gave authority to the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him?
All right. Now, Lucifer, Satan, is powerful. He, in the last days, he's going to do tremendous, powerful things. And I'll tell you something. All you have to do is look in the world today and look at the spiritual deceivement that's out in the world. How much of the world is spiritually deceived? The Lord Jesus Christ founded one church. And Satan has founded 100,000. And if you trace the Catholic Church back far enough, it's going to turn into a Baptist church, people. It started out as a Baptist church, and look what the devil did to that mess. Okay? He turned it into the most ungodly conglomeration, evolution of sin and sinners that you can think of. When lost people run a church, you've got real problems. They do lost things. They do ungodly, hellish things. All right, he seeks to be worshipped and shall someday attain this in this world for a short time. B. Anybody want to read number B for me? Kathy?
In this role, he found many religions to turn the hearts of men from God to himself.
All right. Now, in the what realm there, number one, in the what realm? The occult. What is the occult? What's the occult? This is a spiritual realm.
The occult is a spiritual realm. We have people working in the occult that are working with the sheriff's officers and finding these people. Remember what I told you about a while ago? That people really have the power to look into things and see things? It didn't come from God now. A lot of them will claim it's coming from God. Even those in Satan's church, there are people out there in this world today believe that Satan's going to overcome God. And they're on his side. Did you know that? They really are. They're out there and they're plotting against God. And that's occult. All right. 2 Corinthians 4 and 4. That's what's that based on? Cultism. What's a cult? A cult is usually centered around some man's interpretation of spiritual facts. As the Jehovah's Witness, that's a cult. As your Mormonism, that's a cult. As your Seventh-day Adventists. All of these are cults, people. What they've done is they've changed the person of God. They've changed him into something else. And they're falsely worshiping God. They're not worshiping God, they're worshiping Lucifer and his interpretation of the Scriptures. All right? First of all, we found out last week and the week before that God became flesh and dwelt among us. We studied about 3 weeks ago about the triune God. All right? The Trinity. Now, all of the devil's work is to try to destroy those basic doctrines of the Bible. And if you can do that, then you've led people away from God, haven't you? Cultism, false worship in the name of God, or in the name of Christ. Sectarianism. That splits and offshoots from true churches because of an acceptance of false doctrine. C. His religion is based upon man's works. Anytime you get works and in front of the grace of God, you've got man's religion. This rejects God. True religion is based upon divine grace only. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 and Genesis 4, 2 through 5. Anybody's trying to work themselves into heaven is on the wrong road. You get to heaven by the grace of God and that only. That's it. D. He seeks to blind and confuse men as to salvation. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. He's the one that leads them away and tries to keep them out of the covenant of grace. Number 3. He's the prince and the power of the air. Oh, this is a shaky, scary verse here. Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. I have to read that one to you. Translate that one from Greek. Because it's scarier in Greek than it is in English. Unless you got the Amplified Bible does a pretty good job of that. Amplified Bible is a explanation of the Greek and the Hebrew. Ephesians 2 and verse 2. 2, 1 and 2. Let's start with verse 1. And you all, being dead in your trespasses and in the sins of you, in which is, all right, is what it says, in which sins, then ye walked about, as a habit, according to the age of this world age, all right? According to the ruler, Arkonta, according to the ruler and the authority of the air. The spiritual authority of the air. The now energizing the sons of disobedience. The one energizing, the one that's given them power, the one that's energizing satanic forces in this world, false religions. There is a mental term called a borderline personality disorder. That's one of the worst there is. The people are extremely smart, they're extremely convincing, and they can get people to stick their necks out and actually murder people, whatever. There are a few examples of these in history. Jeffrey Dahmer was one of them. You ever hear of him? Hitler was another. Charles Manson was another. Jim Jones was another. These people were what they call borderline personality disorders. Very powerful, very convincing people. that lead people astray. But what empowered them? What gave them the influence? What gave them the power over other people's lives? Is spiritual forces. All right? Energizing in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all had our habit of living then, in the lust of the flesh of us, practicing the wishes of the flesh, is what it says. Practicing the wishes of the flesh, thelamata. Thelamata, it comes from thelo, it means to wish or will. But thelamatos, that literally, if you want to translate it, means spiritual activating force. What makes you want to sin? The spiritual activating force of Satan working with your lust, doing the wishes of the flesh, and the understanding that we were children of wrath by nature, as also the rest, the ones remaining, are. But the God, being rich, being in mercy, because of His love, which He loved us, even while we're dead in our trespasses and sins, He made us alive with Him. All right? He made us alive with Him. We were all energized, we were all been influenced, and we are all influenced by the prince of the power of the air, because we live in this world. Even when you're born again. But I got good news for you. Don't worry about it, because He that lives in us is more powerful than he that is there. But we do have to face Him every day, don't we? We do have to face this corruption all the time. But we have one consolation, that in the end, it'll all come out right. All right? It'll all come out right. Number three. We can see, we'll understand more about the daily activity of the world. The prince and power of the air. In such a role, no doubt, he causes many storms. Destruction by means of the elements. Job 1, 16, 18, and 19. What happened to Job's family? We know that who was behind the storms and all of the evil that happened, the great whirlwind, the tornado that hit his house. Who was behind it? Lucifer himself. God doesn't cause terrible storms. How did God water the earth in the garden? He caused the mist to come up and rise over it. Brother John. God didn't do it. God didn't do that to her. God didn't do it. Who worked over Job? Satan did. God didn't do it. God's not the author either. A disease in the family? How many kids are killed by their parents and tortured by their parents? God didn't do any of that. Lucifer is the author of all of that. Being in such a role, he dominates much of what is over the airwaves and our radios and televisions, and over the internet too now. See, in such a role, he wreaks destruction on man from the air by means of bombs. I don't think God ever caused one war. What war is caused by? Sin and sinners. That's what it's caused by. Somebody wanting to control the other person. The first slavery that was ever originated in the Bible is when God cursed Cain above all the others. He was more cursed than any others. And what did he do? He invented slavery. The doom of Satan. Now this is good. The doom of Satan. All right? The wages of sin is death.
All right, is that what Romans 6:23? For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is death. We know that Lucifer will die someday, that eternal death. Now look up here on this little map. What do you see up here? This wiggly line. That's Satan's path. Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. Job 1 and 7. Ephesians 2 and 2. Just look at this. Now that's what we've been covering, haven't we? All the way down through here. Let's go on. Revelation 12, 7 through 10. Revelation 13 and 17. On and down. Revelation 20, 1 through 3. Revelation 27 through 9. Revelation 20 and 10. The path of Satan. His doom. Right now he's alive and well. But he won't be. Not all of the pharmaceutical pills are going to recover. That's sorry, rascal. And I am going to be applauding when God throws him in the lake of fire. And I think you probably will be too. The wages of sin is death, and Satan has it coming. The fact of his doom is prophesied in Eden in Genesis 3:15. There's where we had the first prophecy of the Messiah and the first prophecy of the doom of Lucifer. The doom of Lucifer. Number three, the place of his doom is prophesied by the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 14 and verse 15. All right? Isaiah 14, verse 15. Who's there? Isaiah 14, verse 15. Brother John, are you there? All right. Isaiah 14 and verse 15.
To the recesses of the pit.
Uh-huh. You're going to be thrust down the Sheol to the recesses, to the bottomless pits. All right. Now, next week we're going to study about hell. That ought to be a scary one too, huh? The recesses of the pit. We're going to talk about that bottomless pit, the abyss. And number four, who? Brother David, you want to read that one for me? Matthew 25 and verse 41. Let's look at that. Matthew 25 and verse 41. Are you there, Catherine?
Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, to the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels."
All right, you workers of iniquity, you energizers, prepared for the devil and his angels. Number five, the time of his doom is foretold in the Bible, and that is after the millennium. Revelation 20, 7 through 10. Let's look at this. Just follow this deal. Revelation 12, 7 through 10. Revelation 12, 13 through 7. Revelation 21 through 3. And Revelation 20, 7 through 9 or 10. All right. We know. And where are we on this map? Dakota, you remember where we are right now? Maryland, where are we? In the church age, right? Toward the end of the church age. All right? Then the great tribulation period is coming upon the earth. Do you see the four previews of that attraction coming? Are all the people in the right place and the right continents and everything at this time? We got the right leaders too, people. Right on the scene. Leading us right into it. But thank be the Lord, I think we're going to be taken up away from that when the end is here. All right? Up and out and away. All right, Revelation 20, 7 through 10. Let's look at that. Revelation 20, 7 through 10. Are you there, Brother John?
Yes. And when the 1,000 years were completed, Satan will be released from his prison.
All right, now let's go back over here. Here's the church age we live into. The tribulation period is coming upon the earth. He's going to turn Lucifer and all of those people in the bottomless pit, the spirits and demon angels, they'll be turned loose on the earth. All right, and he's going to bring Israel back to him, and he will have to, nationally Israel. We talked about this morning in my class this morning, that in the book of Genesis, in the 49th chapter, Jacob prophesied that Shiloh, and told that a ruler from Judah would not depart the scepter, when his feet would not depart until Shiloh comes. Israel was a nation until they rejected their Messiah. They never ceased to be a nation.
And then what happened then? They were scattered throughout the world, and they were actually nothing. In the end times, it talks about the regathering. They were dispersed here, Ezekiel 36:16-19, but God is going to regather them, Ezekiel 36:20-24. Now, we know that we're in the end times because God has regathered Israel in their own land. That was an absolute miracle, people. But it says that a ruler would not depart. They would be a ruler in Israel until Shiloh comes. Shiloh means the man of peace. Okay? And that was the Messiah.
The Messiah came in there, and national Israel rejected their king and their Messiah and called for his death. From that point of time on, they were done for. I mean, they were done. They were scattered throughout the world. They were of no people. Until God started calling them back. He said, I'll call you from out among the nations. I'll whistle for you and call you. And you'll come, and they're being drawn back into the land today. They're drawn back to that land in a way that they can't even explain. When they rejected the Messiah, they were scattered, rubbed out. But then God's going to call them back, and He's going to deal with them. Why is the tribulation period coming? It's to get Israel ready for the millennial reign.
Israel is going to serve God on this earth, on the earth. In what we call a millennial of a thousand-year reign. By the way, people say the word millennial reign is not in the Bible. That's a bunch of baloney.
The millennial reign is in the Bible. In Greek, it's called kilia. The thousand-year reign, basileia. The thousand-year reign is in the Bible, the kilia. If you translate it into Latin, it's milli, which means thousand. Oh, yeah? And then we have millennium, which means thousand years. Yes, the word thousand years is in the Bible. The millennial reign is in the Bible. And for 1,000 years, Israel will serve the Lord on this earth, national Israel. The earth will be repopulated after the tribulation period. And at the end of that time, all of this time now,
Lucifer will be out of the way. Revelation 27-9, he's going to be locked up in the bottomless pit. He won't be able to influence anybody. But then, God is going to turn him loose. He's going to go back out on the earth.
And he's going to deceive people again and nations. And they will stand against God. And that's the final zip. God's going to X him out, file 13 him in the bottomless, into the lake of fire, which is the second death and which is eternal hell. And that's the place of his doom and the nature of his doom. And the time of his doom is after the millennial. And the duration of his doom is what? Revelation 20:10. Eternal. We won't have to fool with him no more. And okay, I said that. No more. No more. No more. He'll be gone. That will be an eternal now that we won't have. I mean, we'll be without him. I'll be cheering for probably at least 10,000 years. His doom is certain because of the work of Christ, Hebrews 2:14. Hebrews 2:14, let's turn there. Hebrews 2:14. The book of Hebrews. All right. Right close to James, isn't it? Are you there, Kathy?
The children have flesh and blood. He too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil.
All right. Think about this. According to God's economy and his eternal purpose, how is God going to get back the authority over the earth? How is he going to do it? When Satan got it from mankind. The God of heaven had to become flesh. Now, your Mormons and your Jehovah Witnesses will not admit that. And so they're without salvation. And that's exactly what the Satan wants to be. I mean, you can be religious, all right, as long as you can't be saved. All right, people are locked up into that. But according to the Bible, God became flesh. And he lived among us so he could redeem it, the whole earth, in the person of Jesus Christ, redeem it all back to himself. It said that he was made a little lower than the angels in the book of Hebrews. But that's not what it says in Hebrew. The Hebrew scriptures in the Old Testament, it said he was made a little lower than God, Elohim. He was made lower than angels too. Why? So that he could suffer death. What is the strongest stronghold that is on man? What is the force that is the strongest stronghold on mankind? Everybody has to face it. Death. And the fear of death. Once you've been born again, you don't have to fear death. Once you've been born again, death has no power over you. It's only a temporary thing. And it only affects the body. It only affects the body. Well, thank you for your attention today. Do you have any questions before I turn you loose on the world? Go out and do something eternal this week. And we will talk about hell next week. We gave the devil his due tonight, didn't we? And we ended up dooming him because of the Lord. Do you have any questions? Anything? Dakota, you got any questions? Mary Lynn, you got any questions?
Yes, on the way home.
You want to tell me something right now? Come on, they might want to know. What do you got? David? Got any questions? John? Shirley? Kathy? Anybody? If not, I'm going to turn you loose on the world. Go out there and do something eternal. Brother David, would you dismiss us in prayer, please, brother?